Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge. But I know
it's nobody's fault. Boy, that's just a song that turned Jimmy Buffett, a quirky kind of folk singer, into a mogul that created a brand, created a clothing line, restaurants, you name it. It mostly created a lifestyle of just enjoying life, you know, sipping a margarita, not taking life too seriously. That's what Jimmy Buffett wound up representing. Especially with this song. February 1977 is when it came out, Margaritaville. Jimmy Buffett died yesterday at the age of 76 years old. His family issued a statement saying that Jimmy passed away peacefully, surrounded by family, friends, music, and his dogs. He lived his life like a song till the very last breath and will be missed beyond measure by so many. Jimmy was especially, at first they did not announce the cause of death, but this morning the Jimmy Buffett website did announce that the official cause of death, that he died at his home in Sag Harbor, New York, and he actually died on Friday, died of Merkel cell skin cancer, something from which he suffered for quite some time now. I actually had to cancel appearances earlier in the year as a result of it. In lieu of flowers, Buffett's family are asking fans to make donations to Jimmy Buffett's Foundation, Singing for a Change, to the Brigham and Women's Hospital, the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, and MD Anderson Cancer Center. So, it's just a sad, sad story because nobody represented living life to its fullest and not sweating the small stuff more than Jimmy Buffett. And we here in Chicago have a special place, as Jimmy had a special place for Chicago, going back to the 1960s when he was a regular at the old Quiet Night Folk Music Club, where he would go and play and where he struck up a friendship with another Chicago favorite, the great Steve Goodman. It was Steve that passed along his love of the Chicago Cubs to Jimmy Buffett, and where Jimmy Buffett became the first person ever to do a concert at Wrigley Field in honor of Steve Goodman, and he would go on to perform there many times over the years. So Chicago meant something to Jimmy Buffett, and I thought today we would go back for an interview that I did with Jimmy Buffett back in 2017, his a play that was based on his music called Escape to Margaritaville. Had just opened in Chicago. In fact, this what you're going to hear is the opening night. We were there to see the show, and during intermission, we got to go backstage with our cameras and our microphones, and we talked with Jimmy Buffett about the play, about the musical, about his life, about Chicago, the great Jimmy Buffett.
Explain to me, you know, what it's like for you. You've seen the show many, many, many times.
Mm-hmm.
And here we are at intermission right now. So what, you took notes. What are you thinking?
Well, first thing on, they're on tonight. I mean, you know, I do this for a living, too, in another phase of it. But it's been such an incredible thing. Few people don't. It's been a five-year project, basically. So from the, you know, kind of idea to inception to production and stuff. So, and getting here, it's just part of me, I still can't believe I'm out there watching it because it's very strange to see other people do your songs. But then the other thing is the incredible way that our writers and everybody involved kind of got the essence of what it really is a simple story about escapism. And I watch the audience. And then it's just, it thrills me on one side to go, I can't believe it's here, and it's really doing well, and you know, we're on our way to Broadway, and who would have ever thought?
In your wildest dreams, could you have ever imagined that, you know, this would have happened with all your songs?
Not until I saw other things. I've always been a musical theater, a lover of musical theater and lover of plays. Really? And living around New York, I've always gone to the theater for a long time, and I saw things that, and people would say to me, you know, well, you know, you could do one of those. The Margarita could be a musical. And it kind of came from other people's suggestions. It wasn't something I was driven to do.
So on that note, I saw you last week with Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
He came out and joined you for the curtain call. And you had seen Hamilton about six times?
Nine.
And nine times. And once from the production booth, right?
Well, I did it a couple of times because, I've been lucky enough to have been shepherded by the Nederland organization for a long time. I knew Jimmy Sr. back 32 years ago. He had literally offered me a one-man show on Broadway, but things didn't work out. But I always had a connection to Jimmy Jr. and ran Poplar Creek. So I've had a long love affair with Chicago and theater and things that went on down here. So when all of that kind of came together, I thought, you know, this could happen. And it just, you know, it kind of worked. And then other people, as I said, were more kind of interested and kind of had the passion to do it. And I just followed along as the writer of it. It's an incredible thing to kind of get involved with this.
Talk to me a little bit about your love affair with Chicago. I mean, it goes back. To the day, right?
To the day. I mean, Richard Harding had a club on Belmont called The Quiet Night.
I remember it well.
And I played they used to have, like, showcases for talent, and my manager had one in Nashville, and Richard came to it, and he had some other accent, and who knows why Richard kind of saw something in me and booked me to come up. And in those days, he, as the opening act at the Quiet Night, you played for a month, but the headliners came every week. So I saw an incredible amount of talent and met an incredible number of people at the same time. You cut to Steve Goodman was rising, John Prine was here, Bonnie Kolak, the Holstein brothers. So I immediately fell into a crowd that were local Chicagoans that kind of adopted me, and from there, you know, sitting in the bleachers at
the old Quiet Night was right down the street. It was right at Belmont and Sheffield.
As the opening act, I went on at 7, so the games might have been over at 5.
Right.
So I'd get a buzz on in the stands, go take a nap, and go to work.
Why do you think that Chicago connects so well with your music? I mean, this, you know, this Margaritaville vibe, this Key West kind of vibe. Chicago is really...
It's a beach town. It is a beach town. You know, when I first came here, I mean, I'm supposed to know something about geography, but the one thing it was when I came here the first time, there's Lake Michigan. The beaches on Lake Michigan are incredible, and I think that there is a connection to open water. There's a great Midwestern work ethic, and the fact of it is that people, when they work hard, tend to play hard. And many people from here that I knew at that time, in middle of February, if they've got the means, they get to Florida. And I'd run into them. I just looked at license plates in Key West and where they're from. Illinois, Ohio, Michigan. Bingo. You know? So I was getting them on one end when they're on vacation. So when I came out to work here, I just kind of fell in love with every kind of aspect of this city.
And now it's back to Wrigley Field this summer again.
Yes,
right?
We're coming back.
Yeah.
I'm honored to be invited back because that was a good one last year.
Yeah, it sure was.
I don't know how sure we can top that, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, it's always good.
It's great to be in Chicago with this show on the way to Broadway, and this is what they all say here. You know, this is where you know whether you've got it or not. You know, and you never know what the public's going to buy, but I think we got a good shot. And thanks to everybody in Chicago for coming.